That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. If you're one of those go-go car racers, that's all I need to know about you.
Go-go car racers?
That's what I call them. Go-go car racers.
What's that?
I was driving yesterday. Thank goodness my husband was driving, because it was one of those things where I put up my hands to cover my face because I thought the crash was about to happen.
Best if you're not operating a three-ton vehicle with everybody in your family in it, right?
They're the cars that you hear them coming because, like, the muffler's like... And then they just cut in between cars.
Yeah. Like, no turn signals?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah. Reckless, like, the turn signal costs a quarter every time you got to do it.
But not even safely. It's like they're looking to die. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do know what you're talking about.
This guy or girl, I couldn't see because they went so fast by us, cut off the Jeep in front of me right in between a tractor trailer. I do not understand how they did not crash. It was so, so close. And I was like, what is this guy doing? Like, why are you driving?
They have
like
to be somewhere very quickly.
It's 11:30 on a Sunday.
Right.
Like, and what are you doing?
And nobody believes for a minute that that person is like a neurosurgeon because they're driving a 1989 Corolla with a bumper that's a different color on it.
And one of those spoilers that's like 4 feet higher than the back of
Well, they
got
to keep the airflow down. That way the car handles perfectly.
That is all I need to know about you. Do you want to die today? I don't understand.
Well, it's the other people caught up in it, right? If you want to go ride a curvy road and hit a tree, wrap yourself around it, I guess that's natural selection. But it's the other people that would be involved that is really the problem.
I felt so bad for the girl driving the Jeep in front of us because I'm like, I would never. That is the worst situation to be in. And she seemed relatively calm.
If you take photos of strangers, that's all I need to know about you on walks or whatever. So we're out for a walk yesterday with the dogs, and it's me and my wife and the dogs, and we're on a path, and you know, the dogs, they don't walk like side by side. The whole, I won't get into that. But so one walks in front, one walks in the other, and I'm walking the one that's in front. And then my wife comes and she goes, those two people, those two guys that just passed us, she's like, I'm pretty sure he took a photo of me or was filming me as he walked by. She's like, he didn't have his phone out at all, pulled it out, held it straight up, like looking at me, and walked by and then put it away. She's like, it was very odd. And I was in a relaxing mood. It's a Sunday, you know, you're out in the woods, that type of thing. It's not like she's wearing a bikini, she's wearing a coat, but it's still just odd, right?
Yes.
It's weird. It's off-putting when somebody does that. I didn't say anything, but, you know, it stuck with me for a little bit.
It's actually fascinating that you even bring that up, because I don't know if you've seen, but it's been trending all over today, is that Hillary Duff got into a major confrontation with paparazzi at her kids', like, I think it was baseball game. It was some kind of sports thing.
Sure, sure.
Because they keep going after them and they keep filming the kids.
Yeah.
And it's not illegal. We've learned about this before.
Yeah.
That it's not illegal to film and take pictures of people out in public. You can do it. But man, it is uncomfortable.
It's odd.
Yeah.
It's definitely odd because you never know what somebody is going to use this for and what is their gratification of doing so. And just, you know, who knows? With the prevalence of identity theft and fake profiles out there too, it's just strange. I actually got a like the other day on Facebook for somebody. It was my wife's name and my name combined. You're telling me that person exists and wants to be my friend on Facebook? Seems odd.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. A new study found the most common reasons why married couples fight. It's Anna and Raven. 1-800-330-9999. What's the ridiculous reason why you and your significant other fights? You can call or text. Here's the top three reasons, Raven. Not showing enough affection, number one.
Okay.
Lack of communication, number two.
All right.
And someone not paying enough attention to the other is number three.
I mean, those seem like broad strokes, and I think that you could take every argument and put it under one of those categories. I mean, I would like to get specific. Mm-hmm. Just the other night, we had an argument about loading the dishwasher. Not how to load the dishwasher. My wife actually believed that there was some sort of conspiracy going on, that I was messing with her, because apparently I had moved a bowl. One of those soup bowl cup type things that she had put on the bottom rack twice. Apparently, I had moved it to the top rack twice before we ran the dishwasher.
Did you?
She actually thought that I was doing that on purpose to mess with her.
Were you?
I mean, that's a lot of headspace to occupy for a soup bowl dish cup thing in the dishwasher. No!
No.
Okay. Now, I mean, I'm sure that if she observed that I moved it twice, I'm sure I did. But it's because I don't spend my time worrying about whether or not somebody is concerned. I'm reorganizing their items in the dishwasher. Listen, it's a soup bowl cup thing. It clearly goes in the cup area.
Yep.
Clearly goes in the cup area.
Yesterday, and this is the problem when you run errands with your significant other and you don't normally do it all day long.
Oh.
You start turning crazy. So yesterday, everybody was driving like a moron, in my opinion. Everyone was cutting each other off, and it was like, and my husband was driving us. And, you know, I had the girls who were in the back.
Yeah.
And he, like, sped up. And he shouldn't have sped up. So I said to him, I'm like, we got the kids in the car.
Right.
Slow down.
Slow down.
Right. And then I made.
He's doing 38. but okay.
And I made the, I go, everyone's driving like a moron today. You included.
Oh.
And he did one of those things where he put the blinker on like he was going to pull over
on
the highway.
Over. Right.
And he's like, you're going to drive from now on.
Right. Right.
And then I started giggling. I go, and then Hayden, my 10-year-old in the backseat, guys.
Right.
Guys.
Clearly, the ship feels like it has no captain or direction at this moment. I'll never forget the first argument after my wife and I got married. We went on our honeymoon. Everything was great. Everything was wonderful. It's bliss, right?
Yeah.
You come back. We're extending the honeymoon. We go up to Rhode Island, I think it was, or whatever. We go to the beach. And we had a straight argument over the parking space.
Oh, always.
Right. And then I remember after that, it was the source of where we get our weather.
Yep.
One believes the iPhone, the other one believes a certain website or whatever it may be. Those are the type of arguments you have once you're married. It's not over children are the big things. It's over parking spaces and weather sources.
My husband backs into parking spots all the time.
Oh, it drives you nuts.
It makes me out of my mind. Because I'm like, you know what? Let's make everybody in this Costco parking lot wait another 15 minutes while we reverse into the spot. And then you know what I do now?
What's that?
I wait because he knows it drives me crazy. I wait till we're nestled into that spot so tight. And I go, how are we going to get the stroller out?
Oh, that's good. You spring it on him.
Yep.
You're terrible.
1-800-330-9999. What's the last ridiculous reason why you fought with your significant other? Would you go to a destination wedding if the bride and groom requested that you sit through a timeshare presentation as part of the wedding weekend?
I mean, you can get that dolphin tour for free, man, if you just sit through this one presentation.
It's Anna and Raven.
It's terrible.
I mean, this was trending on Reddit, and people were asking, and I guess it's happened. A bride and groom are having a destination wedding down in Cancun, and I guess part of the package to be able to get the deals that they got for their guests was that they had to sit through timeshare presentations.
So they got their guests to agree to go to a timeshare thing. That is kind of a trap.
Now that is boss.
You tell them before you get them, before you invite them, or you tell them after they've already confirmed to go.
Yeah, they disguise it as cocktail hour, but instead you go into a large room with seats and you sit there.
Well, one thing I found is that when you go on a destination wedding, you can do, like, so a lot of times you buy a package, right? And when you do that, you get X amount of dollars for free, right? Like 300 activities. Dollars or something like that. And you can give those to the bride and groom. This was something I didn't know until I just recently went on a destination wedding. You can give like your activity funds and stuff like that to do it, or you can do a fund, like instead of a registry, you can give, you know, gift them dollars to do whatever that they can use at the spa or whatever that they want to do.
So would you go to a timeshare at
a
wedding?
That's the thing. I would rather give you the money any day of the week than sit through a timeshare presentation. They're just absolutely miserable.
I've never in my life gone to one of those timeshare presentations.
Oh my gosh.
I'm afraid.
Don't do it. The thing is that the stories you've been told are all true. Now, I'll give you the pluses. First off, they're usually nice properties. It's not like it's a regular hotel. It's like you're getting the junior suite every time you go, and you're just paying maintenance fees or whatever, blah, 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 blah. They make it sound like a great scenario, and you can trade weeks and all that stuff. But when you buy a timeshare week in Vermont, you're not going to be in Vegas at primetime or Aruba at primetime or whatever. And you're going to get stuck with these things, and the rates are just unbelievable. And they won't let you out of the room. When you go and you say no, it's not enough to say no. They put another person down at the table and they write all this stuff on paper until they get you to sign it. That's how most people do it.
Didn't you have a confrontation with a guy at a timeshare?
I literally went to one in Las Vegas because it was like a free cruise or something like that and tickets to Disneyland or whichever one's in California. And I went to one in Vegas. I said, what's the problem? Why not? Some guy asked me to go, and me and my girlfriend at the time went. We went. I said no 4 or 5 times. I was polite every time. I said it to every individual. They gave me what was supposedly their best offer. I said, listen, it's nothing personal. I said, but there's nothing you can say that will get me to sign up to buy something like this today. It's just not how I make these decisions. The guy had to be restrained, pulled away. And as he was being pulled away, that's when I noticed his Playboy Bunny neck tattoo.
Yeah.
He was like, you don't trust me?
Huh.
No, sir. I just don't make decisions like that.
But do you think it's like a Jerry Springer situation where those are just hired help and it's all part of an act? You know, to like do that to get you to buy.
I mean, if I was on an episode of Punk'd, that would have been great. But I don't know how that entices people to buy. If I'm off on vacation, though, last thing you want
to
do.
What if you're going to a wedding, though, and you're helping out the bride and groom? Will you sit through there?
I would rather just give you a blender.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm being real.
Yeah, me too. What was the gift that had the best intentions when it was given to you, but you opened and you're like, I don't want this. Like, what am I supposed to do with this? Mm. You know?
Yeah.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. You can call or text. Over the weekend, this was going viral and trending on Twitter because a woman, surprised her boyfriend with a very special gift for his birthday. Here are all the friends around witnessing him receiving it.
She bought him a rental property!
And everybody's screaming because she basically handed over the deed to him and was like, look, I bought you a rental property. I bought you property, right?
That's a large piece of property. It's a large investment there. Even if it's a terrible property, it's a good investment. Wow, nice.
And this was his reaction.
Dog, I want like a Rolex, a chain.
What'd I tell you? She knew he would be unhappy.
Well, that's the thing.
He wanted a chain or a Rolex.
That's what he wanted. Right. Well, what did he want?
I want like a Rolex, a chain.
Right. He didn't want a rental property.
Not a great investment.
And you could see the disappointment on his face.
Can you imagine buying somebody a piece of property, handing it over in front of a group of people, and the look on their face just says, ugh.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
But, like, everybody's attacking this guy on Twitter. They're going at him, and they're basically saying, like, you know, what kind of person wouldn't respect a gift like this where it's going to be building money for your future? And I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But what if he didn't want to be a landlord? Right. What if he didn't want to fix up this property?
Well, right. I mean, it comes with a little bit of effort sometimes, right? A gift does come with some responsibility. It's like somebody gives you a pet, all right? It's a terrible gift because you never talk to that person about whether or not they want that pet.
I'll never forget when I first got my puppy, I went to like those puppy, you know, those beginning classes where they play with the other puppies.
Sure.
And I was standing next to a woman. I'm like, oh, your puppy is so cute. And she goes, yeah, my kids got it for me for Mother's Day.
Oh.
I didn't want a puppy. She's like, all my kids are now out of the house and they're in college and they thought that I wanted it. She's like, I didn't want, now
that's
I have to take
trick.
Care of another child all over again.
I've seen it. One of my neighbors right down the road, exact same trick. Kid came home from college, left the dog with them, picked out a dog while they were there and they were like, oh no, I got this dog for you guys. They didn't want that dog.
Right.
They already had a dog.
Yeah, what's the worst gift that you got it? It had the best intentions, but you didn't want it.
I'll contend this. So, like, you've got a project, right? And you've got a friend that's always, he hears about your project, and he wants to come over and help you with your project or whatever. So, yeah, you get some free labor. Yeah, you might be able to borrow some tools or whatever, but you got to live with the results of said project after that. And sometimes like that, a favor or a gift, it's not a gift.
One of my friends bought me these high-end bath bombs.
Okay.
And it's not like the ones that you like pick up at wherever and they're like $5.99 each.
Yeah. Right,
they were like high-end special bath bombs.
Fancy.
Now here's the thing. Bath bombs give me anxiety.
Okay.
Because I feel like they dye my tub like weird colors.
They do?
Yeah. I feel like I don't like soaking in a tub. I have too much anxiety for like that kind of time.
You're too busy.
I can't relax.
You're too busy.
So now I'm sitting in this tub because I feel obligated to use these bath bombs that I know cost a lot of money.
And like you're thinking like a clock ticking in your head.
Right.
How soon can I get out of here while getting the bath bomb result and not destroying my tub?
Meanwhile, I'm just looking at the bleach from across the bathroom and I'm like, I
gotta
get out of here.
Will it be able to handle this?
Can I bleach this blue off the side? 1-800-330-9999. What was the gift that had the best intentions, but you really just didn't want it? You can call or text. Twitter went after this guy over the weekend because they posted a video. His girlfriend surprised him with a rental property for his birthday, handed over the deed. But he was like, oh, he didn't want it because he said he wanted a Rolex.
And I said, a Rolex is a nice choice right there at that moment. But, I mean, think about it, buddy. This is something for your future. This girl really cares about you.
But sometimes
you seem like a jerk.
But you have the best intentions in mind. And sometimes that gift is like, you don't really want it. So 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. What was the gift that you got you didn't want on our text line? they wrote, I'm an artist, and every year, every holiday, birthdays, Christmas, Three Kings Day, whatever, people give me sketchbooks. I have more than I need, and right. I don't even know how to draw. I'm a sculptor. I don't understand.
People just think that you're an artist, right? They'll be like, oh, just get them some art stuff.
Well, right, because everyone
That's
knows
all
I
they
love
know.
Marilyn Monroe, so people always give me Marilyn Monroe nonsense, and I'm like, okay, like, what am I supposed to do with another right. Marilyn Monroe book? Now I have 7,000 of them.
I have 8 Star Wars t-shirts and Star Wars boxers.
Yeah.
Mom-in-law, don't give me Star Wars boxers. It's just awkward.
1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. We'll get to your calls coming up next. What's the gift that had the best intentions, but you just didn't want it? Twitter went on attack this past weekend because there was a video of a woman who surprised her boyfriend with a rental property for his birthday. Like, handed him over the deed, said, look what I got.
Yeah.
And this was his reaction.
Dog, I want like a Rolex, a chain.
What I'm saying?
He wanted a Rolex and a chain. He didn't want a rental property.
It's like somebody gifting you an oil well. It's going to make you money down the road, but it wasn't glitzy enough. It wasn't nice enough for him.
Well, that was the whole argument. It's Anna and Raven because people were saying, like, how lazy can you be? She's giving you a key to your future of money that you could have a million Rolexes. But I could understand where he was coming from because if you didn't want to be a landlord, now you got a fixer upper. Now you've just got like a headache on your hand.
Sometimes a gift is not a gift, actually.
Right. So we asked you, said, what is the gift that you got that had the best intentions, but you just didn't want it? On our text line, a poker kit somebody got sent. I don't even play cards, they wrote. How about this one? My boyfriend had the best intentions. He bought me a gift certificate to go to a place to buy a saddle. So it was over $1,000 for a gift certificate, but I wasn't ready to buy the saddle for a horse that I don't even have yet.
Seems pretty weird.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What did you get?
My brother got the Christmas one here from my parents. Suitcases. And he says, are you kidding? I don't even travel. I don't want a suitcase.
You know, it's funny because the suitcases always go on sale that time of year. And I know a lot of people and families, they never go anywhere. I used to buy my father concert tickets all the time. He would never go out. He hated crowds.
Right.
It was so weird. I'd be so mad at him every time he wouldn't go to a show. But thinking about it now, like, I guess I was just dumb.
Or it could be like my Italian family where we just use the suitcases to store things in the attic.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it's for.
Tana and Raven, what's the gift that you got that wasn't really a gift? You didn't really want it.
So I hosted a Christmas party, and someone brought a hamster as the gift.
Oh, God.
So, of course, the person who picked first got the hamster, and then no one else wanted to steal it, so she ended up with the hamster.
I mean, who brings a hamster?
Oh.
And that's terrible for the hamster, because that's like, if they're doing the Switch thing, that's almost like a gag gift. It's a living creature.
Yeah, I want to text my aunt right now and apologize, because I remember for my cousin's 16th birthday as a gag gift, we were younger, I was like in my early 20s, I brought a gecko. As a gift.
What?
I bought the whole thing.
They could still be alive. What's wrong with you?
And it kept getting loose in the room, and my aunt would go crazy looking for it.
Oh, terrible people.
Oh, my gosh. I feel so bad about it now that I look back on it. She used to have to feed it crickets because, you know, the kids weren't taking care of it. Oh, I'm sorry, Zierita. I'm so sorry. It's Anna and Raven. What's the gift that you got that you didn't really want?
My 25th wedding anniversary, I got 2 dozen roses. I knew it wasn't for my husband. He was an undertaker, and they came from a funeral.
Now, that's funny.
Yeah. Chuck Schumer was accused of spending $8,600 in the last 10 years on Junior's cheesecake.
Wait a minute. Taxpayer money or Chuck Schumer's money?
He says it's not taxpayer's money.
Oh, it better be Chuck Schumer's money, because if not, I'm going to bring the ruckus on this one.
It's Anna and Raven, and he responded by saying this.
I love Junior's cheesecake. So I say to the New York Post and others, guilty as charged. I love Junior's cheesecake so much. It's the best cheesecake in the world.
I mean,
he's just trying to go at it.
$9,000 in cheesecake seems a little bit excessive, but if he really likes it, it is what it is.
I feel like this is one of those revealing articles that's come out here, and now he's just trying to get out in front of this thing. Spin machine, Chuck Schumer. I know what you're doing. I saw this in Clear and Present Danger. He's not just a friend. He was my best friend. I know you just watched that movie.
I'm just wondering, who's at the New York Post that's like, guys, we need to pull all the tax records to see how much cheesecake Chuck Schumer has eaten in the last decade.
Let's do this. Right. Senate hearings on this. Let's pull it out there. It's impossible, sir, that you never charged it to the taxpayers once.
Well, the crazy part is that I decided to start looking at my bank statements, because I think if you start adding up random things that you like, you'd be very surprised by how much money you spend on it.
I know one thing's for sure, that if your husband's up listening this early in the morning, he'll be definitely surprised by some of the stuff that you're spending your money on. So I can't wait for for this.
So, you know, I'm a huge Dunkin' Donuts girl. I love my Dunkin'. But my husband actually may go to Dunkin' even more than I do.
Oh, you busted him?
When I look at the amount of money we have spent in the last, I'm looking at my bank statements for the last 5 years at Dunkin' Donuts.
Wait a minute, the last 5 years?
Yeah, the last 5 years. You can look at your bank statement for years. Look, you all right,
so what do you have?
Oh, I'm talking about thousands and thousands of dollars at Dunkin' Donuts in the last, like, 5 years. That's insane!
I'm looking at my credit card annual account summary right now.
Yeah.
This is for, I believe this is just one of my credit cards, but I have three credit cards with this company, so it may be three. I spent last year $32,550.94 on my credit cards, 29% of which, about $9,300, went to services, 25% to merchandise, 0% on entertainment, $84.69.
You wonder why your wife gets so mad. All your wife wants to do is go do fun things. You spend $0 on taking her out.
No, 0%. $84.69 for the entire year when I spent $32,550 on this credit card.
I can guarantee you all that money went to things at Home Depot for screws masking tape.
It sounds insane.
It sounds crazy, right?
Right?
Maybe we shouldn't be giving Chuck Schumer a hard time about spending $8,600 on cheesecake. Seems like a good deal.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple lets us know what they're arguing about, and then you're the judge. Kara and Marco. Kara, let's start with you. What's going on?
I have to have knee surgery, and it's going to make it so that I'm out of commission for about 4 weeks. I would like my husband, Marco, to take a leave from work for at least 2 or 3 of those weeks so he can help out with the kids. You know, like, I need them to get to school and get them home. And, you know, I just want some help around the house. Like, I do everything. So why can't he? You know what I mean? And he's telling me that he doesn't want to do that, that he would rather hire some sort of helper to come in, like a stranger, help all the, like, way through in my house. I really don't want a stranger in my house. I want my husband to help out.
Marco, would you, first of all, with your job, be able to take 2 to 3 weeks off to help your wife and support her during this?
Oh, I mean, I could, yes.
Yes.
But people rely on me at work, so I want to be there for my team at work.
I mean, there's a difference between being able to do it and then it being a good idea.
Well, I wanted to make sure it wasn't like he was going to lose his job if he had to take 2 to 3 weeks off.
I mean, they tell you do what you got to do, but how many times do you come back from something like that and they go, you know what? The person who filled in did a great job. You are out of job.
I think it depends on the line of work you're in, too.
Is this the first time you've had your knee operated on?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I can tell you something. One thing, Anna, from my experience, when I had my knee done, I thought it was going to be an easy thing, right? I thought it was going to be back to work in a couple weeks. I listened to all that nonsense the doctor spoon-fed me. Worst pain that I've ever endured. The biggest underestimation of anything I ever dealt with before. I was going up and down the stairs on my butt for 3 weeks.
Yeah, but Marco, if your wife is saying to you that...
That is not helping at all.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, man. I was peeing in a bucket for the first week.
Marco, if your wife is asking for the help with the kids and she doesn't want a stranger in the house, don't you think you should do something to try to help her out?
Yeah.
I've been hiring someone to take care of it. I don't know anything about these. I'm not asking
you to check my knee, Marco. I want you to help out with our own kids in our own house. I don't want a stranger there, especially if I'm apparently going to be peeing into a bucket and going up and down the stairs on my butt.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest a bucket for you.
What we do is ask our audience what they think, and there's no reason to get upset because they may see your side, Kara, that, Marco, your family always comes first, and taking a couple weeks off to be able to support your kids and help your wife is not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. But, Marco, 100%, people may see your side, too. If you're uncomfortable in your current job situation to take 2 to 3 weeks off of work and you're willing to be able to bring a caregiver in to help with the kids, with the nanny, and help with her and the changing and everything that needs to be done, then, Kara, maybe you need to be a little more understanding, too. Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
I mean, both of us out of work.
I will listen to what the audience says.
Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Kara's getting ready to undergo major knee surgery, and she's going to be out of commission for 4 weeks, but that doesn't stop the fact that she's still a mom. She's still got the household. She's got to take care of herself, but she wants her husband to take some time off, too.
Listen, you don't want a stranger in the house. That makes sense because you think to yourself, this is embarrassing. I'm going to need them in intimate moments. On the other hand, a lot of therapists will tell you that it's best to get a professional in that type of situation instead of having your partner do those intimate things for you because it kind of takes away a little bit of the magic.
And Marco says, yeah, let's bring in that caregiver. She's not on board. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
I'm definitely on her side. However, I want to warn her that if she makes him stay home, he's going to do that thing where he pretends he doesn't know how to do anything. And she'll feel like she should have just done it herself.
Yeah, 100%. Yep.
Wow.
That's absolutely right, but he's going to make it so difficult.
It's so nice to know that on a Monday morning, we have no cynicism on this program.
Right. No, it's just accurate. It's true. It always seems like a good idea to have your husband help until he actually helps. And you're like, oh my gosh, why did I want this in the first place? 1-800-330-9999. Who said to you on Couples Court with Anna and Raven? Kara's getting ready to have knee surgery. It's going to put her out of commission for at least 4 weeks. And that's why she wants her husband, Marco, to take some time off of work to help her and the kids.
Marco would rather go ahead and go to work, do his regular job, and hire a caretaker. But Kara says, you know what? I don't want a stranger in the house.
Whose side are you on? It's Couples Court with Anna and Raven. You could always call or text 1-800-330-9999.
I'm definitely on the wife's side. He has to be able to keep his job because that is a roof over that his family's head as well. If he is able to take time off from work, that is his duty and obligation as a husband and a father to his wife and his children as a caretaker as well while she is laid up.
It's true. And especially when you're in situations where you feel uncomfortable and you don't really want a stranger to help you. You want your husband to be the one who helps you to the bathroom and doing all those things. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. Him taking off 2 weeks from work is not enough. It takes a lot more time than that to really recuperate. And if they can afford someone to come in and help with the kids, driving them, light housework, and more importantly, taking care of her personal needs, bathing, toileting, etc., which she may not be comfortable doing, she is better off having a professional aide do that for her.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I think they need to compromise. I think he should only have to take 1 week off of work. I mean, why should he have to not have any vacation for the whole rest of the year just because she, you know, wants him home? It sounds like the kids are in school all day. He could, like, go in late in week 2 and 3 and get the kids off school, and then they just hire somebody for the afternoon to get the kids to their afternoon activities and all that kind of stuff.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Kara, our audience agreed with you this morning. Marco, as difficult as it may be, you have to put your family first and figuring out at least a few weeks to be able to take off to spend with her. And then you can see at that point if you need to have somebody come in or if you'll be able to function on your own. But there has to be some kind of compromise. And Marco, taking some time off isn't that big of an ask.
I mean, I love my wife. I love my family. So everybody, you know, the polls are in. I will take the time off.
I hope it works out for you, man. I got to tell you, stepping back for 3 weeks. Here's the thing. If somebody's been through that surgery, Kara, then they know that it's bigger than people portray. On the other hand, if they haven't been through that surgery, they really have no idea. You better make sure that her doctor is writing notes for you to provide for your employer to make sure that they understand what a serious matter it is.
Yeah, that's all. Perfect. I'm hoping or worried about.
And Kara, that must make you happy.
Well, we can get that. It does. It makes me very happy. And thank you guys so much for your advice. And I'm really glad to hear about the doctor's notes. That I actually hadn't thought of that. So it's great. Thank you.
All right. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Beat Raven in pop culture trivia, you win. It's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hey, it's Kim from Oxford.
Hey, Kim, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Yes, ma'am. Raven, would you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Kim.
All right, Kim, here's how it's going to work. Raven's walking out of the studio. When that big old door closes, I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you could beat him, we're going to give you a $100 gift card to Dunkin'. You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Number 1, Call of the Wild is in theaters now, starring Harrison Ford. The famous 1903 book was written by who?
I don't know.
That's okay. Number 2, this superhero, known as the Man of Steel, was born on leap year day 1938. Who is it?
Superman.
Number 3, a study shows that taking regular naps makes you happier and more productive. What princess is Sleeping Beauty? What's her name?
I don't know.
That's all right, Kim. Number four, Hillary Duff went ballistic on paparazzi for taking pictures of her son at his football game. What was the name of the Disney Channel character and show that she portrayed in the early 2000s? It was the same name.
Hillary.
And number five, Katy Perry thanked first responders after collapsing on American Idol due to a gas leak. Who is the creator of American Idol?
Simon Camper. I can't remember his name.
That was close. All right, Kim, I'm going to bring him back in.
Thank you.
All right.
Yo, how's
Kim,
you?
Kim got one right today.
Oh, good job, Kim.
Yeah.
Yeah, good job. I appreciate it. Let's see how
one.
I do.
Call of the Wild is in theaters now, starring Harrison Ford. The famous 1903 book was written by who?
Jack London.
Jack London.
Jack
is
London.
Yeah. Number two, this superhero known as the Man of Steel was born on Leap Year Day 1938. Who is it?
Oh, that's too easy. The Man of Steel is Superman. It's always Superman.
Superman is correct. He's already beat you, Kim. What actually happened was that DC Comics was bought on Leap Year Day. So here we go. That's when they say his birthday was. Number three, study shows that taking regular naps makes you happier and more productive. What princess is Sleeping Beauty? What's her name?
You've asked me this before. Tricky. Aurora.
Aurora is correct.
Yes, I wrote it on the inside of my palm 7 years ago. It's still there.
Number four, Hillary Duff went ballistic on a paparazzi taking pictures of her son at his football game. What was the name of the Disney Channel character and show that she portrayed in the early 2000s?
Lizzie McGuire.
Lizzie McGuire is correct. Huh. Number five, Katy Perry thanked first responders after collapsing on American Idol due to a gas leak. Who is the creator of American Idol?
Simon Fuller.
Yes. Do you know, for a long time, I thought Simon Cowell was the creator?
Or did you think he was Simon Fuller?
I no.
You
I,
were just like, there's a dude named Simon.
It's Simon.
Right,
how
it's
got to
be that guy.
How many Simons do you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I no.
I'm actually shocked that you remembered Aurora.
How many Simons can be involved in one show? There should be a rule against that.
I guess there's two. Kim, I'm sorry. He beat you 5-1 this morning, but we are going to hook you up with your own Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much. It's Kim Fagler
from Raven. Better luck next time.
We'll have another shot for you to get the cheat sheet, the first two answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour today. All this week, we're highlighting careers that we're fascinated by. It's Anna and Raven. Joining us, it's flavor guru Haley Nelson from Ben & Jerry's.
Haley, when somebody tells me there's a flavor taster for an ice cream company, and that's what you do all day long, I just say to myself, this isn't a real job.
Oh, it is. And actually, growing up, I remember sitting in my first grade class, and the teacher asked what we wanted to be when we grew up, and I had no idea. I think I said something like, oh, I'll be a nurse. Got to high school, but joked with my dad at that point that, you know, if I completely fail at life, I'll open a smoothie shop. I can make smoothies. And my dad was like, okay, you go for it. And then lo and behold, somehow I ended up making ice cream, and it's the best thing that could have happened.
How do you train to be an ice cream creator?
So I actually started working at the Ben & Jerry's factory in Waterbury, Vermont as a tour guide. And over the years, I stayed working through college, came back over the summers, and then we built a flavor lab in Waterbury where I started making exclusive flavors just for the tours. And from that, I ended up moving into R&D. So it was just kind of start young and grow up with the company.
I wonder what the pressure's like when you're trying to measure up to Chunky Monkey or Cherry Garcia. That's the type of stuff that keep you up late at night.
Well, to be completely honest, I've had some pretty awful ice cream ideas. They're not all winners.
Wait, I need to know. What was a rejected ice cream flavor?
One of my personal favorites, pretty widely rejected by the masses, lemon poppy seed. I love lemon poppy seed ice cream, but nobody wants poppy seeds stuck in their teeth.
Right.
So that one never took.
Yeah, it's true. It's just a mess. And then your friends are stuck in that weird place. Do I tell her? Do I not tell her? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
You had three conversations since then. Yeah, it's awkward.
Like, our bosses are very black and white with us. So if they do like something we like, they're like, good job. If they don't, they're like, that was the dumbest thing you've ever done. Do they ever say to you, what are you thinking? Nobody wants to eat this.
Oh, my gosh. No, our managers like to give us kitchen challenges. So every now and then they'll ask us to do something completely off the wall. And we're the ones looking at him like, are you sure you want us to do that?
I feel like the kid standing in front of the Slurpee machine. I'm going to make every color. Every color goes in the one cup.
Pretty much, but it's always really fun, and we always do end up getting some learnings and some really cool, fun, tasty things, so it's pretty great.
Flavor guru Haley Nelson from Ben & Jerry's. Do you ever get tired of eating ice cream?
Certain flavors I kind of get a little over after a while, but honestly, there's so many different options. I just am not sick of ice cream as a category now.
What is your go-to flavor right now?
Oh, gosh. My go-to right now is has been for about a year. It's non-dairy caramel almond brittle, technically made with almond milk, but it tastes just like the Christmas cookies that my family used to make when I was younger, so it's really nostalgic for me.
That sounds so good.
What is the one that you're just like, oh, please, tired of hearing from you, Chunky Monkey, stop calling me?
I'm probably going to get a lot of people saying, what is she talking about? But for me, that one's probably half-baked. And all of my brothers, I'm the youngest of six, and three of my brothers are just half-baked fans. They just love it so much. That's all I ever hear about. Like, did you bring any half-baked home? Like, can we get some half-baked?
Hippies.
The new ice cream flavor, Netflix and Chill. I always giggle because I think the names are the funniest part of working for Ben & Jerry's.
I think that means you're going to get busy, right?
Who comes up with the names? Is that your job, too?
Sometimes. The names can come from anywhere in our company. We have a really cool way of working with all the different departments that everyone kind of gets together and comes up with brainstorms for flavor names or flavor ideas. Everyone has a little bit of a say. So I don't actually know who did this flavor name, but I do know we got a group of people together from a bunch of different departments. I know Netflix also got to talk with us about what they wanted to call it. We almost always end up with a couple of really good ideas. Sometimes they're not the kind of thing we want to publish. Like, maybe we shouldn't put that in writing. But they're almost always incredibly funny.
This is fascinating.
Yeah.
Like a regular day, you wake up, you have coffee, then you have ice cream. I just want to make sure I understand.
Oh, God, no. You know, so actually, I dream about ice cream now. It's gotten to the point where I have flavor ideas in my sleep, and I wake up, and I'm like, oh, I should write that down.
Are you also naked in those dreams? Because I have those dreams, too, where the song's going to end, and I'm naked running back to the studio. Like, who would be naked here at the radio station?
Do you happen to have a pint of Netflix and Chilled in your hand while you're doing that?
Next time I will, I'm sure of that.
Flavor guru Haley Nelson from Ben & Jerry's, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Yeah, no, thank you guys for chatting with us. I hope you're all having a wonderful day.
Last week, I began a social media experiment of sorts. I had read an article saying that pet pictures got 50% more likes than human pictures.
Yeah, I mean, pets, they're innocent, Anna Zappa, right? They're looking at people. You go, oh, I love. Look, is that dog smiling?
Right.
Dogs don't smile. Mm. That dog is smiling.
It's Anna and Raven. And I mean, I believe it. I think you put a picture of a cute puppy or a cute kitty doing something, and sure, it's going to get a lot of likes. But if you put a picture of a dog, and then a few days later, you post the exact same picture of you making the same expression in the exact same spot, do you really think that the dog will get more likes than you as a human on your page?
It's time for us to get the results of your experiment.
Lila, my dog, got 30% more likes than I did.
Oh, yeah.
It's 100% true, which I find odd considering the most liked picture on Instagram is actually of an egg. Have you seen this?
No.
The egg has been liked 54.2 million times. And it's the most liked internet post of all time on any website. And it's a picture of an egg. So I'm
is it
curious,
a good-looking egg? I mean, is it
just,
in a basket?
No, it's just an egg.
It's just not a nicely prepared basket or anything?
No, just an egg.
It's not painted?
Egg. No. But I'm thinking if I post a picture of myself and an egg, then maybe I have a shot of beating the picture of me and my dog.
I say you go you versus the egg first, all right? Before you start making allegiances with other people. And how do you know even that the egg is willing to take a photo with you? Let's be honest, okay? Are you going to just grab another egg and hold it hostage while you take this photo? That's kidnapping.
They kind of all look exactly the same. So I'll maybe, find one egg that likes me.
Maybe you find an egg that's willing to let us publish the photo, because you've also got to get the permission rights from said egg to publish the photo on social media. And then you take a photo, pose the exact same way. Then we see who does better.
The one thing I do want to say is that all that research said that dogs get 50% more likes than humans.
Yeah.
And my dog only got 30% more likes than me.
Oh, so
I'll take that as a win.
So you're 20% above the rest of the human race.
I guess.